You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Amara Gay.
Radio show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and co-producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM, The Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. You see, I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would just get outside of themselves and look up, call up, speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. And I am super excited tonight because one of my good friends, as well as a business partner, is joining us on OMG Live on Facebook tonight, as well as OMG Live on Up to Me Radio. And I'm super excited. Her name is Erin Sands. She's an author, she's an actress, she's an activist, and she is my friend. We're going to be discussing her book, The Dunes. We're going to invite you to take a journey. We even have some giveaways for you, so stick around. So right now, I want you to tune in, lean in, and listen up, and give up a virtual hand clap for my dear friend and business partner, Erin Sands. Erin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Margale. I'm so excited to be here on OMG.
Woo-hoo! I'm super excited that you are here. I am so excited that you're a part of the show. And I know we've got a lot of ground to cover. I wanted to get you involved in on this online medium, but until I do, we're just going to go ahead and free flow and throw some of these questions out to you, because you've got some interesting nuggets that I believe can really challenge our listeners in a way that is constructive. So let's just jump right in. Your book,
okay,
The Dunes, I want you to give a little overview of The Dunes. You know, I know that it's about releasing the fears in your life. Matter of fact, I've got it handy. I'm going to go ahead and show it to our audience online, but I want to read it. And the caption says, "Release the fears, restore your soul, and renew your life." And this is, of course, The Dunes by Erin Sands. And so, Erin, just give us a little quick snapshot of what this book entails. And then, of course, I'm reminding everybody that at the end of the show, we've got some giveaways that we want to share with you. So stick around so that we can do it. Erin, share with our listeners what they can get.
Okay. Well, there's a lot I want to share with you guys about The Dunes. The Dunes is definitely a journey. It is composed of seven revelations. And the seven revelations go through different issues, and we discuss fear, issues of commitment, perseverance, trust, grace, surrender, and then finally gratitude. But many of us know that it's one thing sort of get a message in your heart or theoretically in your mind. But what I do in the dunes is I want people to challenge themselves to step out of their comfort zone. So you not only are dealing with your fears mentally and understanding what those are, but I want to challenge you to overcome them. So in each revelation, after you read and you do some journaling, you do a challenge. And so the challenge would be, like, say, for your fears is to do something that you've always been afraid to do. And say if we're dealing with the third revelation, which is forgiveness, to go out and actually forgive, to put that into practice, to put that principle into practice. Same with surrender and other things. I recommend different challenges for the readers, but each of the challenges are really designed for you individually. So you get to kind of come up with your own challenges too as I guide you in the book.
Oh, that is awesome. And, you know, I actually read The Dunes. For those that are listening, I read The Dunes, found it extremely valuable. It helped me to overcome. I used to sing with great confidence. There wasn't a fear in my body. And then somebody gave me a negative comment at one point, and it just shrunk my little confidence, dwindled it, and chipped away at it. And when I read The Dunes, it really empowered me to pick up the mic again. And so I made a promise. I made a promise to God that on my next CD, which will be dropping in 2019,
Yay!
That I am going to sing not one, but two songs. And Erin, you know this. I actually sang
yes.
On our DVD, Stem the Movement.
Yes.
I actually
yes.
wrote and produced the ending credit song, and I am singing on the actual DVD, and you can pick that up at stemthemovement.org. That's just a little plug. But and Erin, but that's because your book encouraged me to step outside of my comfort zone and approach my fears. Now, one of the things that I know, in the Dunes book, you write about seven revelations. And so I
mm-hmm.
would like for us to cover the ground of these seven revelations. I'm also trying to get you on online, as I shared with you. Comment if you can on the social media so that I can see if I can bring you on. But I want you to share with our listeners one of the first revelations so that we can then kind of unpack it and dive right into how we can help our listeners.
Okay. Well, I just left you a comment, so hopefully we
Great.
Can get on so I can be on with you. I'd like to also, as I go through the first revelation, sort of share with your listeners, if it's okay, how the book came about.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do
please,
a little bit of both?
Please,
okay.
absolutely.
So,
yes, I can.
So as we know, when we go through something painful or when God is transitioning us into something, sometimes, you know, you go through a period of being, you know, just uncomfortable. And God is using that time to sort of grow and expand you into the next territory or space he has for you. And that was the case with me creating The Dunes. I was going through a challenging time in my life. And The Dunes actually began as a journal. I was journaling, and God was working with me through my own fears, through my forgiveness, trust issues, commitment, just all of the things that I cover in The Dunes. So after I finished the book, or after I finished rather journaling, the Holy Spirit was like, this is a book. This is something that I've taught you that I want you to share with others. And so initially I didn't know, you know, if it was going to be good or not. I was a little afraid. And so I decided that I wanted to put it out there with strangers, not my friends, because I wanted, you know, people to kind of give me that objective view because, you know, your friends, we love you. Mara's a great friend. She's going to tell you what it is no matter what. But I wanted to put it out there with people who did not know me. So I did an ad on Craigslist, and I asked people to read The Dunes and allow me to follow them on camera as they went through each of the revelations. And what happened
mm-hmm.
was extraordinary. I got these
wow.
people, and they were, and they just were all different kinds of people. I got some people who, like a couple who were seniors, and people who were in their 20s, and people who were sort of Gen Xers, kind of middle age, you know, in every walk of
mm-hmm.
life, different white, black, whatever. And they all took the journey, and the results were remarkable. There was one woman that I love to share her testimony. She had a fear of just really kind of going outside of her comfort zone, being outside, doing things. And that can be found on my website, too, or on my YouTube channel, The Dunes Book. And so for her first fear, she was to conquer, we tried to do the challenge of going outside and going hiking. Now, that may not be a lot for other people, but for her, it was a big deal. So when we met to go outside and do this hiking trip, she was kind of in a turtleneck and a sweater, and it was hot outside because, you know, it's L.A. But we started going up and started hiking, and as we did, and she started, you know, just kind of removing her sweatshirt and sweater, and as she was removing those things, she was, I think, removing her fears. She later said that it was the Holy Spirit setting her free. So by the time we got up to the top of the mountain, she was crying, I was crying, and she really released those fears, and she learned to, her life completely expanded after that. She wrote a book. She started her own, like, goal-making class, and she lost. Like, the next time I saw her, she was, like, 30 pounds slimmer. So the Lord was showing me in that moment that what I had written would resonate with other people and help to change their lives. Another young lady came who had issues of forgiveness. She came and she did the forgiveness challenge, and that really blessed her and her family, helped you know, heal some things that were going on in her family. And then the senior couple came, and that was for the revelation of surrender. And for surrender, he went and started a business, and where he taught yoga to other seniors. And so each revelation brought out something different in each of the readers. I know we'll get to the surrender later, but I just wanted to sort of broad sweep for your listeners how these people opened their hearts, opened their lives to me, and really did the work for each of the revelations, and it really, you know, ended up affecting change and transformation in their lives.
And that's a part of why I knew I wanted us to unpack the dunes, because this journey is real. And a lot of times, the reason that people do not make it to their intended outcomes or make it to their destination is because of the things that prohibit them. In my book, I talk about distractions have a name and purpose has a face, and the distractions can be various things. And, you know, mine was the past, it was things like that. But in your book, these distractions or these prohibitors are things like fear or a lack of forgiveness or the fact that they don't commit. And I know Sharia, and I know that journey. I know that testimony. And I always thought that it was awesome that she literally got over the fear of being outside, terrified of bugs, terrified of being out in nature. And by the end of that journey, not only was she embracing nature, but she had shed the weight and shed the fear of all the things that she had been keeping herself from living her best life and from climbing to the top of mountains or going hiking with her family. What freedom. And then once she shed that, as you stated, she then used it as a launching pad and is now the author of multiple books and multiple projects, and she's empowering so many people. Because one of the things you and I both know is once we pass our fears, we can then be available for the Father to use us in a unique and mighty way. So that is an awesome story. And I even loved how you launched out, and I think you did like a Craigslist ad at the time to see if there were some people that were willing to take the journey with you and do the dunes. And that was how you originally put some of your content together, which I thought was also a great way to think outside the box. Can you share with our listeners, maybe some of the tips or nuggets from or about an area that a lot of people struggle in? And some people don't like to admit that they have unforgiveness in their heart. And then they say, oh, I forgive them. I forgive people that hurt them. But if you told them to pray that they be blessed, oh, my goodness, they would shut their mouth. If you told them to if you even brought their name up, some people, it's like they shut down. And that's when you really know you still have some unforgiveness in your heart, when you can't smile about the person and you can't extend grace or pray or wish them well. You know, then you know there's unforgiveness in your heart. So can you share with our listeners some of the nuggets about unforgiveness that may be outlined in the Dunes book?
Sure. And I also read you an excerpt that I talk about when I share about forgiveness in the Dunes. But I think that the big thing with forgiveness is that people don't understand it truly. Because when you talk about forgiveness, people think that forgiveness sometimes means that you are okay with what the person did to you. that you are okay with how they hurt you or wronged you or, you know, whatever that is. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that you are okay, that you accept what they did. Forgiveness is saying that I'm giving up my opportunity for revenge to hurt you for what you did to me. It means that I'm putting my power in Christ and in the future, that I know that my power rests in this moment and in tomorrow to live and to go past what you did. Right now, I'm dealing with something in terms of forgiveness. Somebody that I love and trusted did something that was very hurtful for me, and I know that I need to forgive them. So, and sometimes forgiveness is a process. Sometimes you're not going to forgive overnight, but I've done the work in prayer to say, Lord, I've chosen to give you my will, and I will myself to forgive this person. I will myself to get past this, to not carry animosity and anger over what this person did to me. So when I need to cry about it, I cry about it. If I'm angry about it, I'm angry about it. But I don't get revenge, because the Bible says you can be angry and sin not. So you can be angry over it. But forgiveness really is more for us than the person who, quote unquote, wronged us. Because when you hold on to forgiveness, unforgiveness is a block. It blocks God's blessings. It blocks, so that's spiritual. It blocks what God wants to give to me, because I'm so busy and caught up in anger and unforgiveness about, you know, or resentment about what somebody did. So then it is also mental, because when I don't forgive, I don't have peace, because every time, like you said, you mention that person's name, now I'm angry and I'm replaying what they did over and over in my mind, how they hurt me, how they wronged me. Why? It's not going to change. So I have no power to change the past, and whatever they did is in the past. I can't go back to the past and change that. So why am I rehearsing it over and over again in my mind? I need to let it go. And forgiveness is also dangerous to us physically, because we build toxins in the body that can, you know, form disease when we are holding on to resentment and anger like that. So it's a block physically in terms of our health. It's a block mentally in terms of our peace. And it is a block spiritually in terms of releasing and receiving the new and what God has for you in the present and what God has for you tomorrow. Forgiveness, when you are in unforgiveness, rather, you really are locked in the past, because the event already happened. You can't go back. You only have today, and you have hope for tomorrow.
Yes. And, you know, you said something so important. You know, I believe a lot of times that we take on this thing called unforgiveness, and like you said, it blocks us spiritually, it blocks us mentally, it blocks us emotionally, and the reality is it does. It sets in, literally run rampant on our body. A lot of times people have found that cancer runs rampant in their body when they have these toxins like unforgiveness locked inside. And then also someone said something very simplistically profound, and it was simply this, and I've shared it on this show before. When you really want to forgive somebody, you become the bigger person, no matter what they did, how wrong it was. Being cut for good is an expensive lesson. But I have learned to say, I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to grow. I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to seek God. I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to depend on God when you turn your back on me, or when you lied on me, or when you cheated on me, or when you didn't take something that I believed we did, that we were supposed to do together, seriously. And when I do that, I am now giving myself permission to say, I'm okay with what you did, because what you did caused me to grow. What you did caused me to cling to God in a way that I never thought was possible. And that's one of the most valuable lessons I've received when I learned how to forgive, and how to forgive completely, not like partially, but it is a process. You know, you don't do it overnight, and it doesn't go away like a wand. There's no abracadabra, I forgive you tomorrow. It's a process, but every day, if you work it, every day, if you put some time and attention, you can learn to get over that and literally allow it to be in your rearview mirror, and you don't keep checking on it. You just know you're going forward, and if they go with you, fine. If they don't, it's all good. because there's good ahead
Amen.
Of us, right? All the time.
Amen. Amen. I want to read
I
this
invite
excerpt
our,
from forgiveness.
Ahead. Oh, please.
Oh, okay, I'm
going to
read
this. Well, before you read it, let me just share with our listeners, if you have a question or a comment, you can call in at 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246. You're going to press 1. Please hold off until after you hear Aaron Sands' excerpt from the book, The Dune. You're listening to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show, and Aaron Sands is my guest today, and she's reading an excerpt from her book, The Dune.
All right, wonderful. So this is from the third revelation on forgiveness. And actually, each revelation starts with a quote. And I start forgiveness with a quote about perseverance, because I think that forgiveness and perseverance sometimes go hand in hand, persevering to the next day, persevering to the next moment. But this is the quote: pretty grows on trees like grapes in a vineyard, but beauty, like wine, develops over time through the crushing of what was and the conversion of what remains to create a sweet new beginning. And I think that speaks very much to what you just said. Sometimes we go through painful situations and they crush us. But like a cocoon, like a butterfly in a cocoon, we change and we grow in that pain, in that, you know, hard place, to create and become something much more beautiful. But this is the quote in terms of forgiveness, because I get a lot of people asking me, well, how do I forgive? Because when it's really hurtful, when it's egregious, sometimes, you know, it's really hard. But how do we forgive? How do we make peace? There is no perfect formula or process, especially when the affront is egregious. Every situation, like every person, is different. The beginning of forgiveness, as with everything, is prayer. And although each path to forgiveness is as different as the offense, there are certain steps that will lead you on your way. Whatever was done, despite whoever did it, you must first learn to accept it. Rehearsing it over and over again in your mind or lamenting about how you wish things had turned out differently is never going to change what happened. As painful as it may be, it happened. Accept it. Acceptance does not mean that you have to be okay with what happened. It means that you understand fully that your power does not exist in the past to change it. Your power exists in the present to overcome it. Acceptance enables you to move forward and create reasonable expectations, to establish boundaries through heartfelt discussions, and to make the decisions you need to make regarding your own life. Boundaries should never be motivated by fear. Fear is not a part of forgiveness, nor is it a part of making peace with the past. Healthy boundaries are motivated by wisdom, gained through the experience, and gained through prayer. Finally, release it. Though it's easy to say and much harder to do, give it to God and let it go. It is the past, it is over, and it only has the power you attach to it. You honor no one's memory by spending the rest of your life miserable, angry, or bitter. You do not enact justice by shrinking and becoming a shell of who God created you to be. You enact justice when you flourish and forgive in spite of what happened.
Wow.
Aaron,
so that is,
I love your words, one, but the meat that's on those bones. You know, how many times have you and I run across people who don't have healthy boundaries, who just don't know how to set healthy boundaries,
who for whatever reason are passive about the boundaries that should be in place in their life. And now some people internalize the boundaries. They believe, you know, you shouldn't be able to do this, or that somebody shouldn't do this in their life, but they never voice them. They never allow the words to be seed spoken so that someone can adhere to the boundaries. So they're invisible boundaries, meaning in their mind they have set them, but they've never expressed it to the person of whom they should have the boundaries around. And I'm going to give a quick example. Friendship. I remember having a friendship where I know how to be a friend. I know I call, I check on you, I make sure you're okay, I take you things, I do things for you, I even help you out when I can, all the time. But not everybody is worthy of the kind of friendship that I have to give. And
right.
healthy boundaries to me means that I'm not fearful, like you said, I'm not fearful of losing your friendship, but I refuse to put myself in a position where I expect more from you than you're even able to give, that I expect more from your life And you do not hold the capacity to be the things that I believe you could be. I remember investing in a friend to help her be successful in her business. And when I would watch her squander the money I'd give her to invest in her business on her hair or on clothes, I knew that was me wasting the seed. It's kind of like putting my pearl before swine, or putting new wine in an old wineskin. I had boundaries. I set boundaries and said, I will not do this. I will not invest in your business. And then eventually I got to the point that I just said, I can't be your friend. And I let that friendship go because it was lopsided and it was one-sided. It not only didn't do me any good, but it was actually damaging me and the potential for future friendships with other people. So it's very important that we make sure we keep those boundaries in place. And again, I want to remind our listeners. Oh, go ahead.
And that's what I was going to say, what I said earlier about forgiveness. People think that forgiveness means that you have to be in relationship in the same way that you were prior to the offense. And that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness, like we've shared, is letting it go. But it doesn't mean that a friend of mine taught me the saying, it's all good, but it's not all the same. So if you do something hurtful to me and I see, let's just say you have maybe a family member who's a drug addict, maybe they're on, you know, something, you know, horrible like heroin or something. So I forgive you. You stole my TV to support your drug habit.
Yeah.
That hurts. You wronged me. I'm going to forgive you. But the boundary I have to put in place is maybe you don't come over the house because you are not in a place where I can trust you with those things, with, you know, with my belongings, because you are not in a place where you can be trusted. I love you. I forgive you. I'm not still angry and harping about that TV you stole. We're good, but you can't come over my house anymore because you are still this person who is caught up in this addiction. And you can kind of put that in different places like you did with your friend. You're not, I forgive you. I'm not going to be angry or thinking bad thoughts about what happened, but I understand that I can't invest this seed in you because you're not mature, responsible enough to receive this because you're going to squander the money. I'm not mad at you, but I can't do this, and that's a boundary. And that is a part of forgiveness, boundaries. But that boundary is not motivated by fear. That boundary is motivated by wisdom. I have wisdom based on my experience with you and your behavior. I'm not afraid of you, and I'm not doing it because I think you're going to do something to me. I see this. I see who you are. I love you, but I love myself too. And I'm going to set these boundaries so you don't take me on this journey where I'm losing money, where I'm hurting myself, or my time is wasted because you're not mature enough or ready to handle the full breadth of me or the friendship or the love or whatever I extend on a daily basis.
Yes. You know, I have this phrase. That's good. That's some good stuff, Erin. I have this phrase that I say, everybody's not worthy of riding in a first-class seat in my life. Some people have to be demoted to coach. Some people have to be demoted to baggage. People have to be left on the tarmac because where God wants to take me, some people can't even handle the altitude. So that is a part of having those healthy boundaries that are not motivated by fear but are motivated by love, love of oneself, love of the fact that when I work hard for my money, I don't want no crackhead or no drug addict stealing my money or taking my money. And when I see you,
even though I've had to put you in coach, I'm not angry at you about it. Because I've forgiven you, but you can't sit in first class because you steal or you lie or you do these things, so I need to put you there. Or sometimes you need to say, because I've had places where I can't, like you did with your other, you know, the person you were in relationship with, we can't be in relationship anymore, but I'm not going to be talking about you behind your back, I'm not going to be such and such, I have forgiven you, but I have made boundaries, or I've decided that we just can't be in relationship, but I'm not sitting at home mad, twisting my whiskers, you know, trying to plot your demise, but I understand that we cannot be in relationship. I forgive you, I love you, go with God. God bless you as you go.
God. Look, God bless you as you go. The gift of goodbye. You know, I have a friend that said, a friend, Minister John O, says, one thing God has to teach him is that forgiveness is a release of the person who has caused you damage. A release of the person who has caused you damage. Because when you have that release of the person that caused you damage, that's when you walk in freedom. That's when you can truly walk in freedom. And with freedom comes what? Next. with freedom comes next. Not now. I don't have to stay in this current situation, but I can move on to the next situation. Okay, Erin. All right. So I want to let our listeners know that we have a giveaway that we're going to share. Erin has a wonderful free giveaway that she's going to share, and we're going to share that towards the end of the show. Right now, we're going to take a very short break, and when we come back on the other side, if you have any questions or if you'd like to make a comment, the phone number to call into is 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246. Press 1, and you'll be entered into the queue. We'll be right back. You're listening to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show, and my special guest is none other than Erin Sands, the author of the Dunes book. We'll be right back.
Yay. The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Tamara Gale. My special guest is Erin Sands, author, actress, and evangelist. And we've been breaking her book, The Dunes, down to the marrow. We've talked about fear. We've talked about unforgiveness. In her book, she talks about these 7 revelations. And each of the 7 revelations are named so that you can take this journey. And so, Erin, I would love for us to go into the 3rd revelation, which I believe is commitment. Can you share with our listeners some of your nuggets about commitment?
Yes, I would love to.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to turn to commitment, and because commitment is the 2nd revelation, and I want to read a little something from the beginning, which we start on commitment. And I say, decide. The first step of every journey, every lesson, and every victory begins with a decision. A lot of people view commitment as something you make a decision and you're going to, like, wake up, I'm going to commit to a new diet tomorrow. So tomorrow I'm going to start exercising. Tomorrow I'm going to start, you know, eating different. And I view commitment a little bit differently. I want to challenge your listeners to understand this. Whatever you are doing right now on a daily basis, whether you realize it or not, is something you're committed to. So if you are saying things in your mind negative about yourself, then you've made a commitment to that. If you are not eating, if every day you don't eat healthy, anything that you're doing every day, daily, that is a commitment. So we're all truly committed to something already. What I'm asking you to do is change your commitment to things that grow and expand your life, to things that are pleasing to God, to things that offer you the opportunity to live your best life. So when we talk about in the Dunes commitment, it's about choosing you and choosing God. And I use the example of people who committed to big things and people who committed to smaller things. Like when we think of Martin Luther King, he committed to making America greater by extending love across humanity, across race, across culture. And so that was a commitment. You can commit to making a decision about your health. You can commit to changing the first commitment you made to not eat healthy, to change and make a new commitment to be healthy. So commitment is something that you're already in. You're already committed to something. It's about recognizing what that is and making the change and asking yourself the hard questions. Is this commitment that I'm in, is this thing that I'm doing every day prospering me? Is it pleasing to God? Is it what's going to get me closer to my goal? And for those, you know, you have to be honest with yourself and you have to be real with yourself. The Dunes is a journey that makes you look in the mirror and ask yourself the hard questions and then do the work to change and expand your life. It's not something that is going to be done without work and without, you know, that kind of naked, raw truth.
Yeah. You know, as I was listening to you, I was reminded of how when you're really committed to something, you wake up thinking about it.
you go to sleep dreaming about it. It is the thing that you miss your meals. I sometimes sit in my studio and I'm working on music and I'm so in my zone that I'll forget to eat. I'll forget to stretch my legs. I'll forget to get to sleep on time because I'm so committed to either land that track down or making that beat or whatever it is that I'm doing. And it's things like that that remind me of how I am 1,000% committed to some things in my life. And then when it's time to do taxes, it's like it's such a frustrating thing that I just put it off and I put it off and I put it off until I absolutely positively have to get them done, which is why I do my taxes every 2 years. And people that know me know I do my taxes every 2 years because I'm really not trying to do that every year. So I put it all together. I do it once, but I do it every 2 years. But that's me because I know that I'm not owing anything I actually put into the kitty. But that's one of those things. I'm so not committed to doing that. I do it. But I do it every 2 years. But my music, I could stay in it all day and all night. We've got a caller, Erin. We've got a caller on the line. If the last four digits are 7718, you're on live on the OMG show. I'm your host, Mara Gale. And, of course, my special guest is Erin Sands. Welcome to the show, and please share your name.
Hi, this is TV Blake. Can you hear me?
Hi, Daisy. I feel like I know her from somewhere. I can't think of where, though.
You know I can. Yes, I just want to say, first of all, hello, ladies.
TV Blake.
I kind of know y'all just a little bit.
She's our TV Blake is our co-producer on STEM, the phenomenal DVD,
yes,
life-changing DVD.
Yes, she is our co-producer. She's the third leg. It's all three of us, Erin Sands, Mara Gale, and TV Blake. We all co-produced, co-wrote, and co-star in a film called STEM, the Movement. TV Blake, thank you so much for calling in. Please share your question or your comment.
Yes, well, thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure to hear you, ladies. I want to say that I read the Dunes book, and it blessed me. Also, also got one for my husband. It blessed him so much that he bought 5 copies immediately to give to other people. It is a blessing. One thing that I hadn't heard actually mentioned is the questions at the end, you know, because it helps you do the work. It helps you do the work, and I really like that. I like that I'm able to participate or have an activity attached to actually reading the Dunes and going through the Revelations. It's a beautiful read, and it blessed me so richly. My one question, and then I'll let you all continue with other listeners and talking, is that oftentimes, you know, because y'all spend a lot of time on forgiveness, oftentimes the forgiveness has been there. Like when I was reading, I had some forgiveness that had been there probably for years. It's deep-seated, it's deep-rooted, egregious. How do you start to excavate that type of thing that's been there so long, you've lived with it for so long? Because sometimes when you have fresh hurts and you're more mature, then you're able to do the work like you're saying. But sometimes things might have happened when you were immature or younger or in a different place or they were so deep-seated. So is the process the same for unforgiveness when things have lingered there for a long time?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, for me, and because we're close, TV, you know a lot of the testimony I'm going to share. A deep-seated hurt for me was my relationship with my father. Loved my father very much, but he was not in my life growing up. He was emotionally abusive, and we talk about this. I talk about it in the Dunes, but we even go deeper into this in STEM, the movement. We talk about how wounds that we can have when we're children often, as we become adults, you know, affect our adult life and the choices we make. What helped me to forgive my father, and sometimes it's still a journey when I think of things. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be hurt by some things that were said and done in the past, but when I look at my father's own humanity, when I take him out of the box of being this sort of this cool, this guy who operated in maybe a selfish or thoughtless way, but when I think of him as the boy who dealt with things his own self,
as he was growing up. He didn't have perfect parents, and who does? None of us do. Everybody's doing the best they can. But my father did the best he can based on the wounds he received as a child. We say something in STEM, hurt people, hurt people. And my father was hurt as a child. So as my father was hurt as a child, so as he grew up to be a man, he carried some of that woundedness with him, and then he put it out on me. Then he hurt me. But in order to forgive him, I had to understand that he was hurt. He was hurt, and he was acting out his own wounds, and he hurt me as a result of it. But when I got that he, you know, had his own stuff that he was dealing with, I was able to forgive him because I saw that, okay, this man was doing the best he could for who he was at that time. When my father got older before he passed, we were able to reconcile a lot of the things that were done when I was a kid that hurt me. And we were able to establish a different relationship as friends as I was an adult and, you know, he was in his senior years. So I think that when we have a long-standing pain that happened when we were younger, that we need to look at the other person's humanity or perhaps what they went through to make them that person and view them from that perspective. What do you think, Mara?
You know, I completely agree with every – I would like to just add one thing because she made a comment about how do you move on from it when it lingers, when it's been there for a long time. And I'm going to go biblical because I know that's your growth language, TV. One of the things that I have to reflect on constantly is when I was a babe in Christ, when I was lying, cursing, fornicating, God forgave me. And when I was a babe in Christ, he forgave me. When I wasn't walking with him the way I wanted to, when I would repent and turn right back around and do the same thing, meaning I would confess it, but I wouldn't turn from the behavior. God continuously, time after time after time after time, forgave me. And in his word, when he talks about forgiving 70 times 7, I am reminded that if God forgave me when I didn't know better, I was a babe in Christ, and now and even when I was growing up in him, I still was doing the wrong thing, and he still continued to forgive me. How much more should I forgive someone else, even though it may have occurred when I was a babe in him? I was gang raped. You know that, TV, and Aaron, you know that, and it's in our film STEM. I was gang raped by 5 grown men. To this day, I promise you, there's no ought in my heart. There's no unforgiveness in my heart. I don't look in the rearview mirror of my mind and go, I hate them or I wish any ill feelings on them. All I wish for them is that they've grown and that their daughters never have to incur or endure what I endured. I pray that they are loving fathers, that they are wonderful husbands, that they are men contributing to society in an awesome way. I have no ill feelings in my heart. I don't carry a stone with me as a reminder, a memento. I do not allow them to keep my freedom hostage by what they did to me in my past because God does not allow what I did in my past to hold me hostage from being all that I'm supposed to be. And how can I ask God for his forgiveness every day? And how can I expect that forgiveness and accept that forgiveness if I hold unforgiveness in my heart for something that happened to me when I was 15 years old? So the same way that Jesus forgives us each and every time that I ask him, I praise the Lord for anybody who's ever done anything to me because had I not endured all the things that I've lived through from divorce to dysfunction to disappointment to abuse, I would not be the woman I am today. I wouldn't have the boldness. I wouldn't have the courage to speak truth to power. I wouldn't have had the tools and the weapons to empower other women who have lived through divorce, who are dealing with divorce, who have lived through rape, who are dealing with self-esteem issues, or who thought when they were drinking or smoking or wearing a miniskirt that it was their fault. Because if I hadn't endured what I endured, I wouldn't have written a book about it, and I wouldn't have been speaking about it, which meant that those women in the audience who I know have gotten their breakthrough because they have written and told me, thank you or bless you for being transparent, those lessons that I learned, those scars that I now can show with, as a proud mark to say I survived that, not oh, this is an ugly scar. No, this is a battle scar, baby, and I survived it. They didn't take me out. It didn't destroy me. I was able to overcome. And so, TV, to your point, and I got long-winded on it, to your point, don't allow somebody to hold your future hostage
because you don't have the freedom of forgiveness about something that took place in your past. Shake the dust from your feet, walk forward, and move in victory and walk in purpose. So that's my 2 to 5 to 20 cents, actually, that I have to say about that. You're listening to OMG, the Omar Rigel Radio Show, and my special host, co-guest tonight is Erin Sand. She's the author of the Dunes book, and that's what we've been discussing tonight. And Erin, I want to make sure that we get into some more stuff. So we're going to forfeit the break that we were going to do tonight. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to call in. Questions or comments, 347-347-3. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mara, with the number. 347-324-5246.
The number again is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue. Go ahead, Erin. You were going to make a comment.
TV brought up something really great and something that, you know, as I said, the Dunes started out with me journaling. And so I wanted to provide that in the book, that which helped me get to certain revelations. I'm a writer by nature. You know that. I like to write out my thoughts. And so in the Dunes, with each revelation, I ask you some pointed questions. And sometimes even a lot of us, you know, if I say, well, what are your fears? It may take you a minute because maybe you're with Sharia, the testimony we gave about her, hers were immediate. You know, she kind of knew it. But sometimes, like a Myanmar, I would have to really think about my fears because I don't operate in a place of fears. We all have them. So that's why I provide the journal questions, because with time and prayer, you know, as you're going through the Dunes, I've seen it on every occasion, not just one time, but every time, that when you truly open your heart and you pray, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you those areas of fear that you may have. Yes. And since we are talking about commitment, one of the journal questions I have in the commitment, which is the second revelation, is what opportunity are you missing out on, or what area in your life are you not getting the most out of because you have not made the commitment that you need to make? And why haven't you made that commitment? So that's just the beginning of the journal question for commitment. And so each of these, like I said, each revelation, you get a moment to sit with yourself and to really truly let the Holy Spirit reveal those things to you if they don't come right up, and kind of write it down and figure out what is your block. And then after that, why have you been allowing that thing to block you? And when it comes to commitment, I want to say this. A lot of people know, I'm not going to get into, but a lot of people know that I am active in that way. But no matter what, you know, side of the road you're on, and I'm going to kind of go spiritual in terms of who God has called us to be, you can say that right now the climate is very divisive. And I would say that that's the enemy, because to me, we can disagree with still respecting each other and being civil. And I'm not going to say it's one side or the other, because I believe that it is happening all around. But when I talk about commitment, the enemy is very committed. He's committed to keeping us at each other's throats over issues that we can just talk about and agree or disagree, because I've learned that, in fact, we have more in common than we do in disparity or in conflict. Even if I talk to a friend who's on the other side of the political spectrum. So what I see in terms of commitment, that the enemy is committed. He's working every day to keep us at odds. What we have to do as Christians is be just as committed to loving each other despite our disagreements, despite, you know, seeing things a different way, and work to find common ground. We as Christians need to be committed to loving our neighbor, to finding out areas of where we agree and expanding those. So commitment is not just about I'm going to commit to this new diet, or I'm going to commit to writing a book or doing things better for yourself, and that's valid, but committing to being who we're supposed to be in Christ in this world, being committed to being a light, being committed to being love in this, you know, in the nation right now where things are very divisive, very harsh, committing to speaking those things that are of good report, that are godly, that are loving, and that, you know, edify each other, committing to that.
Yeah.
Because if every day you're mad and you're angry and you're saying things that are divisive, you are committing to the things that the enemy wants us to commit to. Let's commit to the things of God.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely Love it. I love it, love it, love it. And there's so many revelations in your book that we could go through. I'm going to fast forward to get to some of the other on the other side, either
okay.
surrender or gratitude, because I believe that we could infuse. Yeah, so I'm going to let you choose which one, surrender or gratitude. I want
to
remind you again.
To do both.
I know. So if you guys know surrender or gratitude, chat it to me, and then I'll let Erin know. Again, if you have a question or a comment, 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into queue. Surrender or gratitude. Tell me, and I'm going to go ahead and have Erin discuss the topic. But before we go there, Erin, I want to remind our listeners that Erin has a special free something for you. So at the end of this show, at the end of OMG, we're going to share with you a link, and the link is also going to be available on uptomeradio.com. So Erin can either share on one of the two topics, surrender or gratitude. I'm going to go ahead and choose for you. I want to hear about.
Oh, no, I want to. No, I already had it in my mind.
Okay, go ahead then. Go ahead. Which one do you want to do? Which one do you want to do?
I'm doing gratitude.
Perfect. That's what
but
I'm
open to talking about
and
both.
My name is Mara Gail, so gratitude. Go ahead.
Okay, so in the dunes, as I was writing it and I was like praying, I said, Lord, how do I approach gratitude? Because I think gratitude is deep, but most of us think of it as just being, you know, grateful. And that's good, and it is. But for me, living a life of gratitude needed to be more profound than that. I needed to, you know, find the deeper meaning. And as the Holy Spirit was ministering to me, he said that gratitude is actually only found in the present. Because that's really truly the only moment that we can control. And if you're living in the past, you know, and you're upset or, you know, angry or even wistful about something that happened, you know, that's gone. You can't get that back. And tomorrow isn't been given yet. So the only thing you can do is live in the present. So that brings me to an excerpt that I'm going to read from the book. Okay, let me turn on my light.
You have to live in the present. I love it. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm putting on my glasses because I'm older now and I need my glasses. So here I go. In my early 40s, I began going through what is culturally referred to as the change. It is a time in a woman's life when her hormones rebel against the norm and fluctuate, causing considerable emotional and physical discomfort. It is followed by my all-time favorite, the mind-boggling hormonal weight gain, which is not precipitated by bad eating habits or lack of exercise. It just appears on your body uninvited. Yeah, it's a fun time all around, to put it bluntly. I was not happy. My stomach, which had once been flat, was now a pudgy, soft playground of goo. My vocabulary, which had once been vast, was now caught up in a perpetual hormonal brain fog, and I despised every moment of it. I hated the weight gain, I loathed the lack of clarity, and I detested the private summers. All I wanted was my old body back immediately. My husband and I love live music, so we're often out and about supporting local or touring bands. Such was the case the night we found ourselves at the House of Blues in Hollywood, jamming to the Gap Band in concert. I would love to tell you that I was completely present for every glorious moment of that night, but I wasn't. I spent the bulk of the evening inside my head, hating my body, hating menopause, and lamenting how things used to be. Every woman who walked in with the waist I used to have fueled the conversation in my mind of all I had lost, as well as musings of what I could possibly do to get it back again. I felt like it would not be until I somehow got things back to the way they used to be that I could enjoy my life and fully live again. But here's the thing. While I was waiting to live again, life was happening. Around me, joy was flowing through the air like oxygen. But instead of partaking in it, I chose to fixate on something that in that moment I had no control of. I was standing next to my husband, a man who loved me and my body just the way it was. We were surrounded by good friends and perfect strangers, all cheering, singing, and dancing to the Gap Band's old school hit Party Train, and I missed it. Life was happening, and I wasn't there. I was in my head, preoccupied with self-pity. I was so focused on tomorrow that is not promised that I let the now that was given slip away unappreciated. What if that moment at the House of Blues had been my last night on earth? I would have spent my last night ungrateful and worried. What a waste of time when I could have spent the night fully engaged and present in the blessings that surround me. A husband who loved me unconditionally, friends who were happy to see me jam into a funky, phenomenal band. How much time do we lose waiting to live? How much time do we never truly experience because we're not fully present in the gift that is each new day? And so that's what the Holy Spirit showed me where gratitude is. Anytime that I've been sad or depressed,
yeah,
literally I can say I haven't been grateful. You have to not be in a spirit of gratitude to be depressed because I'm so focused on what I don't have in that moment versus what God has already given me. And so that night that I shared with you that I shared in the book, I was so focused on something that was out of my control, which is a natural change of a woman's body, that I did not appreciate the moment of being loved by friends, of being, you know, listening to a great band. I missed it because I was preoccupied with something I couldn't change. And so for me, gratitude became being able to be present in the moment, present in the thing that I could control, which is the now. I'm here now. This is the gift that God has given me. He's given me this gift today. This is all I have right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, this. And so when I have gratitude, then I'm grateful for what is. The only thing that really truly is, doesn't exist anymore. I mean, tomorrow doesn't exist yet, and yesterday doesn't exist anymore. All I have is this moment. And so if this is your last moment on earth, and I hope that it isn't, enjoy it. Be grateful. Soak it in. And I say that, too, because we can even go deeper in terms of our phones and the culture we have become. I remember I went to my cousin's wedding. He's sort of the bachelor in our family, so he got, you know, married later in life. And so I went to his wedding. We all had to go because Michael was getting married, and he's in his mid-40s, and he was getting married, and we were all excited. Yay, Michael's getting married. And so we were there, and I'm sitting at the wedding, and I pull out my phone to start videotaping my cousin walking down the aisle, and something hit me as I'm videotaping, and I was like, why am I I'm here. Put down the phone and enjoy this moment. Exist in this moment. I'm never going to get this back again. Why am I so caught? I mean, he had a videographer, but I'm saying it's, and I'm not saying not to take pictures or videotape, but we get so caught up in taping the moment instead of existing in the moment. You know what I mean? And I think social media has done that in a way. You know, we get so caught up in taking pictures or videotaping it and not experiencing it. And when I put down my phone, it felt different because I was fully checked in. I was 100% there for the wedding versus videotaping it, trying to figure out how it would look on Facebook when I posted it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, you just gave a mouthful. And I hate that our hour is about gone. But these were valuable nuggets that people needed to hear and that we needed to be reminded of. So I'm going to just unpack a little because, you know, I just sum up stuff sometimes. And then we're going to share your social media information. We're going to share with people how they can get the book, how they can get the free tool. My message to all of our listeners today is basically what you said. You cannot be fully present in the now when you're so interested on what you're going to do later, when you're so fixated on capturing something with an unnatural device that we miss our natural eyes, the way that God made it. No matter how I take a picture of the Grand Canyon, it will never look as beautiful as the one that I've taken with my own eyes. My food, I take pictures of my food all the time. My husband knows this, but the pictures will never take and capture the taste of the food in my mouth. It will never capture the relationship that I have with my husband as I look across for him and gaze in his eyes. It won't add to the experience or influence the experience that I have when I'm with friends dining in a restaurant, enjoying the fellowship, the friendship, the funness of a conversation or a time of fellowship with friends. So remember that, brothers and sisters. Remember that the next time you go out with a friend, put your phone on silent, turn it over, because if you have it facing up, every time these notifications come, it's like Pavlov's dog. You're going to respond. So thank you so much for tuning in, OMG. I want you to listen very carefully. Erin has a free gift to give to everyone. So listen, take notes, and I will also chat it in our chat line, and it will be available on uptomeradio.com. Erin, share what you're going to give away and share where they can receive it.
Okay, so I'm giving away my free online course. It is only available now until, because next year it will not be available because I'm including it in my upcoming springtime release of Bootcamp for the Soul. But right now I'm giving away The Awakening. And The Awakening is an online video course where I literally walk you through every revelation in the Dunes. You get what's in the book as well as my personal commentary. And I walk you along with that as I partner with a good friend of mine, Cynthia Jackson, and she gives you tips on health and nutrition and how to lose weight. She incorporates her healthy weight loss program with the Dunes, and you can get that free online program at www.theawakening.teachable.com. And I'm going to put that web address in the comment section. And so please, you know, go ahead and get it. It's free, and we walk you through each revelation, and people are blessed by it, and people lose weight with it. So that's always a great thing.
Erin, now share with everybody how they can catch up with you, your social media handles.
Oh, I'm at Erin L. Sands.
Erin, what was the name of the website? www.the-awakening.teachable.com?
Teachable. Mm-hmm. The
but no doubt awakening.
Yes, the-awakening.teachable.com.
Okay, it's not coming up online, but I'll go ahead. I'll let you put it in because it's not. When I go to the link, it didn't come up for me. There it is. Perfect. There it is.
Yeah.
Right. No, yours. So I'm going to delete mine. Thank you so much for tuning in to OMG, the Omari Gale Radio Show. Erin, thank you for being an outstanding guest. People were encouraged, inspired, and equipped. I know we went over a little bit, but it's okay because it's my radio show and we can do that. We get an hour, but if we go over a little bit, we can make it happen. You can follow me any place on social media at Mara Gale. My website is maragale.com. And, of course, if you're interested in the film, STEM the Movement, you can go to stemthemovement.org. Of course, the Dunes book is available at thedunesbook.com, also at erinsands.com. And the free kit for you is up. Erin has posted the actual link, so I want you to go and check that out so that you can walk away with your free tools and tips. God bless you. Thank you again for tuning in. I hope you have an outstanding day. Know that I love you, and we'll meet you back here next Thursday. UpToMeRadio.com.
Yay!
God bless. Thanks, Erin.
Thank you.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. OMG.